You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of John and chapter 8. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. The Spirit of God, we're looking to you to honor your word, to honor yourself by honoring our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for your personal presence. Thank you, Father, that we can be exercised before you, for you, by you. God, honor yourself, your word. Here we are. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of the Gospel of John, we're in the upper room. We're looking at hours away, literally, from his crucifixion, for when his crucifixion takes place. And in the process, the disciples, the 11 that are left, the 11 facing, as far as they're concerned, a terminal ending of all of their dreams and aspirations. Maybe prison, maybe death, but it's all over. Now, that's their thinking. And our Lord, it's his hour, his the most awesome hour since all of history, before history. God determined to die on the cross in his Son before anyone is created, including angels. That's an awesome thing. The hour had come. Now, so in the light of that, the Lord's going to go and encourage and try to help the disciples that are going to face without him. Now, keeping in mind to pick up our little studies on this. Now, 3.5 years have gone by, 3 1/3 years, and the disciples have been able to be with him day and night on all different kinds of occasions. And in the process, what have they observed? Chapter 8, among other things. Chapter 8, verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know what? That I am he, that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And, verse 29, he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. I'm never alone. For I do always those things that please him. Now for 3 1/3 years, the 11 and others, what have they done? They have seen him day and night, coming and going, and he never needs anything. He never wants anything. There's nothing in all of life for the normal human being is to have all need to come, to go, to have, etc. For him, there was nothing. He had everything, and everything in the midst of the storm was perfect. It didn't matter about they wanted to get him, hold him, kill him, capture him. It didn't matter. He was at peace, perfect peace. And the disciples could never have that. He did. All they could do was be with the person that had it. They couldn't have it. No, they didn't, and they couldn't. Now, Lord, what are you going to do? As long as you're with them, you took care of everything. Food, clothing, health, wealth. You took care of it all. But now you're going to be gone. And you're going to go And you're going to try to encourage them to understand that in your wonderful, wonderful being and person, you're able to do awesome things, and you're able to take care of them as you did when you were with them, only now in a totally more wonderful way, if you could even conceive of that. Therefore, you give this special instruction that God gives, chapter 14, that God gives this wonderful, wonderful instruction for them, chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. You give all of the encouragement, and you're going to help them understand that they're not going to be without you. You're going to be gone, but you're not going to be gone. In a way that as long as he is with them, they never can grasp it. But afterwards, I'm going to be with you in a way that you have never, never dreamed of. I'm going to be with you. And then we shared. He's telling him the awesome truth. It's impossible, except he's doing it. He's saying it. And it's all because of who he is. Hang on now. So therefore, John chapter 14, we share together all of these things. But you want the flavor of it always. What did you tell them? Verse 20, in that day you shall know that I am in my Father. They're standing looking at him, but they can't see God. They can't see. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. That didn't click. Now, therefore, in that day you shall know, verse 20, that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Now that's an awesome, awesome relationship. We've shared it for 5,100 times. But you have to grab it. You have to let it happen. And if they don't let this happen, if Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, if that doesn't happen, and the Spirit of God doesn't bring it to pass, it's not going to be. But it is going to be. Therefore, verse 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, God, you're going to be in them, with them, in a unique way. Not only that, you and the Father, I am the Father. I am the Father and the Son. I'm God. I'm going to be with you, in you, for you, in every way, shape, and form. And therefore, that's why all of the previous awesome statements we studied, which are very legit, but you'd never know it in our society. Verse 14, you'll do works just like I do. You'll do more of them. Whatsoever you ask, anything you ask in my name, I will do it. That's awesome. He means it. You'd never know it, but he means it. It never happens. Not hardly. Wow. Now, having said that little bit, keeping that in mind, so God is going to give his wonderful word, and we share together in chapter 14, verse 26, that God is going, they don't have to depend on their memory or their IQ or anything else. What are they going to do? God, the Spirit of God, who gave the word, whose word it is going to give them the word as they need it, exactly as the Lord Jesus communicated it on behalf of the Father. And they're going to do that. So now, there's no question then. So it isn't a question, could you remember John 3:16? Absolutely. Are you going to remember all these words? Absolutely. And I'm going to give you the rest of the words. That's how you got your Bible. God gave it to us in a most awesome way. Now, in the process of that, God is going to go, verse 28, we share together, verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. For let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now, God, what are you saying to them now? You're giving them all this wonderful, wonderful way to experience and express your wonderful person. And you're going to go and be personally, they're going to have a relationship to you that isn't going to end. It's an ongoing, daily relationship. And all of that's wonderful. And the Lord Jesus said, it is going to be possible because I give you my peace. I'm not giving you, I wish you peace. No. I'm going to give you, I say peace unto you. I'm going to give you my personal pronoun, ownership, possession, my peace. So we've been reminded, we're going around to remind ourselves, the peace of God. The peace of God. Now, God, we just read, you please the Father 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for 3 1/3 years. And more than that, actually, when you were before that. You please the Father when you were 6 years old and 12 years old. Wow. So now, here we are looking, God, and the perfect peace. Now, we shared together, look at some length, God's wonderful words, God's wonderful words, God's perfect peace. The word peace, connecting the pieces, bringing the pieces together, and peace. And we have the peace to complete the wholeness, the entireness, the having nothing missing, if you can get that. Not think of the word shalom. Peace, wholeness, completeness, entireness. Nothing's missing with God. There's nothing missing in our Lord Jesus Christ, who has made provision to give you that which belongs to God. Peace. Whose peace? God's peace. And that's what he's giving them. And that's what they need. Why? Because their faith, they're in a troubled world that is troubled and troubling. And they're going to face it. Enemy opposing, they're going to be hated. If they represent light in the darkness hates the light. It never, 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 never loves the light. The world system never, 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 never is going to honor God. It's condemned. Now, keep that in mind if you would. So here's God, a perfect peace, a state of untroubled, undisturbed well-being, awesome, awesome condition. And that means within, perfect, outside, everything's perfect. That's why when you read 1 Corinthians 15, when our Lord Jesus Christ delivers up all of the universe in his saving grace, and he finishes the job of putting everything together in order by way of his grace, he turns around to the Father, and he says, Father, you gave me an assignment. Here is the finished product. And then, God what? God is going to be all, in all, about all, everywhere. It's all about God. When you're all done, it starts with God. He's perfect. And God, that's what the Lord Jesus Christ is giving God, Lord Jesus Christ is giving the 11 this wonderful, wonderful gift of the peace he has. Now that's an awesome thing, along with all the other awesome things. So now I ask myself, and you would ask yourself perhaps, well, that's a kind of peace that isn't found anywhere. No, it isn't. It belongs to God. It belongs to God in God's most wonderful way. And therefore, God, you are able to say you are complete, whole, full, you lack nothing, you are all, being all, in all, for all, you totally, heavenly, holy, happy, harmony. Everything is perfect with you. Everything in the world isn't. All kinds of things to fear, to worry, to be frustrated about, but God not to you. Now, in order for us, John 14 and verse 27, my peace I give, I am giving it to you, giving as a possession, free. You don't buy it, you don't pay for it, it's a gift. I'm giving you a gift. I'm giving you my peace. And that's a God, how on earth are we going to enjoy the gift? Well, we can enjoy the gift. I need to understand, there's no way you're going to have perfect peace. There's no way you're going to have peace apart from what? Apart from rightness. There must be rightness. You can't have anything wrong, out of sync, out of order, and have peace. Everything has to be in order. Now, in order to grab that righteousness. Now, what do we know when the Lord Jesus Christ, what did he do? He provided his own righteousness in his own wonderful person, the God-man. He provided the righteousness in his judgment, righteous judgment, righteous justification, righteous saving grace. Everything that God does and is right. And for you and I to enter in to anything God has, and God, it has to be right. And where is our rightness? And we've shared this 1,000 times. I'm thinking right, I'm doing right, I'm feeling right, I feel all right. That's not the rightness. It's the righteousness that belongs to Jesus Christ, and that, 1 Corinthians, you don't have to turn there now, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 30, Christ is our, what? Righteousness. And that's why God, you get along with God, that's why you can be here, and in comfort and encouragement, because God is right, and you are trusting God who is right, who's given you his righteousness. Where? In his wonderful person. When you receive Christ as your Savior, you receive the rightness that you didn't have. And he becomes your life in a most wonderful way. Now hang on. In the light of that, going over, just to tap onto it quickly, we did it, all of these things in Isaiah, but just going back, because you need to lock it in, rightness is the starting point. If you're coming to God, well, I feel right about this and I feel good about that. All of that's well and good. The way you're going to have what God has for you is trusting in his righteousness. And you aren't coming in your rightness about anything. In fact, your old nature running around up here, in here. Old nature's running around. Words, thought, and deeds. You understand, what did Einstein say? They said about Einstein, he used 2% of his brain. I don't know. I never checked Einstein's brain. But anyway, in the process, all the thoughts and words and deeds are rumbling up here in your heart, in your head. You can't stop them. And they aren't in tune. That's your old nature. Busy, 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 busy. That's why it's so easy to worry. So easy to want, so easy to say things, do things, think things, because it's our old nature bubbling and moving away. Now, busy, therefore, Isaiah chapter 32, better, to get the thought. Isaiah 32. And you know, all of these are just giving you to remind, to refresh your mind. Isaiah chapter 32, Remember, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to provide what? The righteousness of God. Not only does the Spirit of God provide righteousness, the Spirit of God provides peace. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace. Where do you get peace? God said, I give you my peace by way of my Son, by way of God the Holy Spirit. That's why you have it. And it's, what kind of peace is it? Flawed? Defective? No. The peace belongs to me, said God, that I give you. It's perfect peace. How could it be anything less than that? What is there to worry about? What is there to want? What is there to be troubled? Nothing. It's perfect peace. How can it be anything less? Now, therefore, the Spirit of God, verse 15, until the Spirit, in the millennium coming up, until the Spirit of God be poured out upon them from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. Sliding down, verse 17. And the work of righteousness, work, right, the work, the effect of righteousness. What is the effect of righteousness? Peace. Peace. And the effect, the result of righteousness is going to do what? Quietness and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, the outward practicalness of it, and in assured dwellings and in quiet resting places. Now, God, so when? What are you saying? Well, you can't have anything unless it's right. And the only way you have it right is because I'm in it. If I'm in it, and by the way, the peace isn't a package I give you. It's me. It's a person. Hang on to that. Now, therefore, while you're here, reminding yourself, because we said perfect peace, and you would guess, over to Isaiah 26. Isaiah chapter 26. And in Isaiah 26, you remember looking, and God is going to surround the city and be the wall. He himself will be the protector. And sliding down, verse 3, for context sake, time's sake, thou wilt guard safely. Thou wilt keep him, the heart that's looking to you, looking to God, in perfect peace. The shalom twice, perfect peace. Perfect peace. He'll keep you. How do you do that? Whose mind, whose thought process is stayed, resting down, anchored down on God. So how are we going to have peace? Well, you're resting down. If you're resting there's a tremor out there in the ground, and you stand on a piece of solid ground, and you put one foot on the shaking ground, then you're trying to balance yourself, aren't you? God, what are you doing? The mind isn't all the way over here. The mind is not halfway like this. The mind is thirsting down on the wonderful person of God, 1,000%, resting down. On whom? On God. Who am I trusting? Who's right? Who makes what? Perfect peace happen, whose mind is stayed on thee, and thus, because he trusteth in thee. And then you're going to say the word again, a command, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord, Jehovah, is everlasting strength. So God, where are we going to get all of this wonderful, wonderful wonderful peace in you? All we're going to do is rest ourselves down on your wonderful person, and trust you with all our heart. And God, you're going to give us what? We're going to have the result of resting on what? We aren't resting on cement. We aren't resting on the rock of Gibraltar. We're to be resting on you, God, a person. And when we rest in the person of God, you're safe. Perfect. Perfect rest. Perfect peace. Where am I resting? I'm to trust God with how much of your heart? All of your heart. Why is it always all? Because if it's halfway, it's over here. It's like this. And you can't, you know, it's going to be all of it. Put all of your heart upon Him. Now, having said that a little bit, and we aren't looking for peace with God. We aren't talking about the peace with God now. We're talking about the peace that belongs to God that is because of we have peace with God. It's because we have peace with God by way of the cross that we can have the peace of God in a very personal way. Now, and keep that in mind, if you would, and just remind yourself of that, over to the effect of resting on God in His wonderful grace. Over to 1 Corinthians. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, just reminding us, we're to be resting on a unique, wonderful relationship that God has provided in the person of Jesus Christ. And when you receive Him as your Savior, God finds His residence, His home, in your heart. That's an awesome, awesome thing. Now, therefore, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, picking up, please, reminding ourselves, to the Corinthians, to the believers, to us, for the preaching of the cross is to them that are perishing, unbelievers. The preaching of the cross is to them perish foolishness, but unto us it is the power of God. So if you know the Lord as your Savior, you're able to have that starting point. But if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, you can read the Bible for the next 1,000 years. You can talk about everything. It's not going to work. It can't work without God. God is required for whatever God is asking. Because nothing's going to happen outside of God. There is nothing apart from God. Everything has to answer to Him. Now, so therefore, you see that, and over in chapter 2, you know, verse 14 reminding you and myself, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Why not? For they are foolishness unto him. Neither can they know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And if you aren't going to look to God and enjoy the wonderful life, they that worship God must worship Him in spirit and truth. You have to have a unique relationship to the Spirit of God who makes all of this possible. Therefore, the world just isn't going to go with it. Now, we know that. We know that. And God, when you get saved, though, boy, things change. Over to Galatians. And again, you're familiar. Looking God. Here's the world. The world doesn't, you're going to try to explain to them? Forget it. Going to try to help them? You want them to have what you have. They can't, apart from Jesus Christ. Just can't have it. Therefore, Galatians chapter 2, wonderful, verse 20. For I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live in the flesh, by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Now I have a unique relationship to God because of the way of the cross, Christ died. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Well, if you don't go and find yourself in the cross, how are you going to find yourself in the resurrected life of Christ? How are you going to find yourself in the wonderful life that God gives? If you don't understand, Christ crucified you, buried you, and rose again, and made it possible, pardoning you, to possess you. How could that ever happen? To walk in newness of life. God, I have to go to the cross. I have to understand I'm crucified. That's why he says, reckon yourself dead indeed in Romans 6:11. Reckon, calculate, compute yourself that Christ died for you. You're dead. So therefore, you don't have to try to manage your human life in the flesh all by your lonesome. You don't have to do that. You can look to God and thank God that your life is now hid, Colossians, in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's where it's hid. Your life is hid in a person. It's the person who gives you peace. It's the person who is your life. It's a person. We are in the presence of his person. A person. Now hang on. See if we can get there. Now, keeping that in mind, if you would. So in Galatians chapter 5, go over there for a minute. Just to remind you, in chapter 5, what are you going to, God, you're going to have to get us there, the Galatians, etc. Chapter 5, picking up, please, in verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, your old nature is going to dominate. Over, if you would, please, to chapter 5, verse 24. And they that be Christ have crucified the flesh and the affections thereof. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now there's a relationship to God. He made it possible by way of his death on the cross. And you have to understand, you were born physically and you had a relationship to your mom and dad. Like it or not, that's what happened. And when you're born spiritually, and you receive the Lord as your Savior, you have a relationship to God. Now, what do you got to do as a little baby? You got to stay alive and grow. Don't get milkitis. Grow. Just keep growing so you can enjoy being alive. What do you do when you get saved? Grow. How are you going to enjoy knowing what it is to have eternal life? How are you going to enjoy God's wonderful provision? That God would go and have you represent him in a unique way as his body. He's the head, you're the body. And you represent him in all of his fullness, his magnificence. Wow. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if you would, therefore, what do we need to know? Our old nature, as we just read, our flesh. Our flesh, what do people do? Are people normally thinking about God? Do they have a thought about God? No. People aren't even bothered with God. They come, go. It doesn't make any difference. They don't think about God. And then we go sometime as we want to understand God. And people have a godless. Then they have God. But they understand God as they wish. They understand God's word as they wish. And they do what they do and say what they say, and they involve the Bible sometime. They involve God in what they do. I have peace with God about this, and I have, this is God's will for my life. I know God gives me peace. But it's not God's. But they are thoroughly convinced. They feel good about it. What can you say? And in the world sense, the world applauds it. But it's against, it violates the whole purpose of God's dying on the cross. Now, in the light of that, to see that in a, and you know that from, without turning all those, Isaiah 5 and 20. If we call good evil and evil good, if we call light darkness and darkness light, we call bitter sweet and sweet bitter. And we've shared this. This is how history has gone, to turn it all upside down. Men love darkness rather than light. So we're going to call the darkness light and the light darkness. And so anything I read, well, that's not our world. Our world is darkness. Aha. Now, but over in Jeremiah. Thank you. Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 8. You'll pick it up, the flavor of it. What does the world do? Well, the world wants to understand. They want to understand God. Now, and remember now, if you go to Jeremiah and chapter 8, well, no, go to chapter 5 first. Chapter 5, Jeremiah. I'm going to go to verse, well, for time's sake, God's looking for righteousness. Remember, God's looking for righteousness and truth. And so when you come to verse 2, the unique problem of the two tribes, Jerusalem, Judah, in Jerusalem, is what? Though, verse 2, though they say the Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely. The 10 tribes in the north all agreed, Baal. But the two tribes in the south, they did worse. They said, God this and God that, and God said, and it isn't true at all. They did terrible. Now, so therefore, chapter 8. And in chapter 8, you will please remember the prophets and the priests, and what were they doing? I'm going to go directly if I can. In the light of there, they're not doing well at all, but what were the people doing? Verse 11. For they heal, what did the prophets and priests do? They heal the hurt, the wound of the daughter of my people slightly, insignificantly, lightly. It doesn't mean anything. But God said judgment, fire, sword, famine, death. That doesn't, don't even pay attention. Don't pay attention to that. No. They said, peace, there's your word, peace, peace, when there is no peace. They gave him a big line that you can have peace apart from God's rightness, apart from God's Son, apart from God. And you can't. You can't do it. And most people are doing that. We like doing that because we feel very strongly about things. We feel very whatever, and we peaceful. We got it. And we go, but we don't know what God's peace is. And remember now, I can't even turn there. Remember Colossians 3:15? Let the peace of God rule, umpire, discern. He's the judge. He's the judge. Let the peace of God judge all your thoughts and all your words and all your ways. So why? You aren't trusting. What's the purpose? To condemn you? No. To stop trusting ourselves. Stop trusting yourself and trust God. That's what God said. Now, and so in the light of that, God, you have to help us. And we say, well, that's my pride. Well, we have to get rid of that. We have to put it on the cross. And God, you do that in a most wonderful way. So people do what they do and think what they think. And as they give, they give. Well, one other place, quickly. Psalm 81. Psalm 81. Psalm 81, I just want to pick up another awesome consequence. When you don't want to, you're going to leave God out, we're going to have peace, nothing ever works out. Did you know everything you have peace about and everything that's going to come out good doesn't? Only for a while. You feel good in your health right now, most of you? A little while from now, unknown, God knows, you won't feel good. But you trusted in it. It can't stay. It isn't going to last. Not at all. The pyramids, when the pharaohs put their bodies in them, you know, with all their gold and everything, the pharaohs are there, the body's there, as it were. But you can't. You can't stop the last enemy to be destroyed is death. And we are not dismissed from the fear of death, Ecclesiastes. There's no furlough. There's no way to get away from tomorrow and death, apart from his soon coming. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, so therefore God, Psalm 81, and in Psalm 81, you'll remember the wonderful, wonderful truth among all the others. In verse 10, I am the Lord, 81:10, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I'll fill it like little pigeons, little birds. Just open your mouth. That's all. Mommy will bring the worm. Daddy, bring the worm. Now, but, verse 11, my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would have none of me. So I gave them up. I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. And I've shared that from the beginning. I think that's the worst thing that could happen, is to be left with your own thoughts and have no God, no recourse of any other thoughts. And God said, I give them up to their own thoughts. They want to call it peace and profit and my will. Go to it. Go to it. I give them up. Think of Romans chapter 1. I give them up to their own ways. You don't want that. So God, I want to understand. I want peace. I want to be able to go forward in a way that honors you and looks to you with all our heart. Now, over in closing, we have a big jump. I try to build it, but you got a little bit, I hope. Got a little bit. Over to Philippians again. And again, a wonderful, wonderful thing I need to think about and lock it in. Philippians chapter 4. And in Philippians in chapter 4, reminding ourselves that God, you tell us not to worry. Verse 6, command, present tense. Don't stop worrying. Be careful for nothing and everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, underlined, let your requests be made known unto God. And when you're looking to God and trusting God with all your heart, then what are you going to have? Well, then you're going to have a wonderful, wonderful benefit of God's what? Peace. You're looking to God. Now, I looked to God and my heart found the peace of God. I looked at the peace of God, and God was gone, and my peace was gone. I only had peace when I looked to God. The minute I looked away, God, and I look over here, and I look over here and get all excited, I lost it. I lost it. I should have. Where did the peace come from? From God. So I don't need to study peace. I don't need to study, is my life gooder or badder or worser? What's my life like? How's it going in the world? How's it going in my health, my wealth, ministry, whatever you want to look at? No, I need to look to God. And when I look to God, you'll have it all. Now I have a little illustration for good or bad. I didn't have a big mirror. This is the little mirror. Can you see back there? Okay. That's a little mirror. Now, when the little mirror wants to stay in the light, not the darkness. So, looking at the light. Now, if you look in the mirror, is the mirror reflecting the light? Hopefully. Is it? As long as I do this, is it reflecting? Oh, what a wonderful thing! Is the mirror reflecting it now? I'm looking. Forget looking too much. Looking. It isn't going to be. I turned away. It's a person. It isn't a feeling. It's a person. And when you're looking to the person, when I'm looking to the doctor, I go to the doctor and he snarls at me. Ooh, he has a big needle and is trembling. No, I want the doctor to relax and show me he's the doctor and he's confident, he's comfortable. That's all I want to see. Because the doctor is the doctor. He knows what he's doing. He understands what he's doing. He went to did all the stuff. He studies the body. God, are you God? Yes. So am I going to look to you? Absolutely. Because you're God. Are you wonderfully, wonderfully God? Absolutely. So as I look to you, I enjoy the benefit. As I look to the doctor, I enjoy the benefit. Are you not right now surrounded by air? Most of you. You're in the bottom of the ocean of air, the atmosphere. You're surrounded by it. True? At least most of you are. And your whole world, word, thought, deed, work, home, school, is being exercised in the middle of the air, isn't it? The air doesn't go away, does it? Bad news comes on the phone? Did the air stop? Did anything? No, it stays. That's why you stay alive. God, we're in your middle, in the middle of you. My peace I give unto you. All you have to do is enjoy it. That's all. Don't try to help me be God. Remember, be still and know what? Psalm 46. Be still and know that I am God, and that means stop getting interfering in my life. God says, I'm running things. Don't try to, we did all that. Don't try to help God be God. We tend to do, we got to help you, God. You don't understand. God said, I do understand. Back off, quiet. And I will keep you in perfect peace. You understand? I know it's a way up, way out of the world subject because it is so rare that believers ever come even think about it. But it is real. And I want to grab it. God meant you to possess that, to know it, to have it. And it overcomes your personality, your idiosyncrasies, and everything else. And it overcomes because it isn't about you. It's about this wonderful person that calms, quiets in its entireness, in its untroubled, undisturbed, non-threatening way. Nothing aggravates it. Nothing stirs it up. God, be still and know. Quiet. Our Father and God, we thank you for your word, your grace. As we looked a little bit, God, to try to get a handle afresh of what you say and why you say it so that we can understand. Otherwise, God, we plow along. We don't want to be religious. We don't want to be just Christians in the sense of it's a used word. We want to be the anointed ones, God, that are mocked by your anointing. Spirit of God, you mock us in the midst of the spirit of Antichrist. You mock us as the Christ ones. God, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Help us for all that only Spirit of God, you can do it. So deal with us. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In Christ's name, amen.